ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿಭೇದವಿಭಾಗಿನೇ ವ್ಯೋಮವ್ಯಾಪ್ತದೇಹಾಯ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಯೇ ನಮಃ ಗುಕಾರಸ್ತ್ವಂದಕಾರೋ ವೈ ಋಕಾರಸ್ತನ್ನಿವರ್ತಕಃ ಅಂಧಕಾರ ನಿರೋಧಿತ್ವಾದ್ ಗುರುರಿತ್ಯವಿಧೀಯತೆ ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾ.
On the page 86, in the next three mantras, the Upanishad gives us an imagery describing the journey of our life with the journey of someone who has the right kind of vehicle, right equipment to perform the journey, suggesting that our journey or our life also is a journey. Just as in a journey there is always a destination, the pilgrimage is a destination that you want to reach. So we are all born with a destination to reach. And therefore, our life, whether we know it or not, is a journey. We have an agenda or a goal in mind with which we are born. And as human beings, we are given the free will, which requires us to make choices in every situation. Making right choices, we reach the destination. Make wrong choices, we wind up someplace in a ditch. Both the possibilities are there in the life. In the morning class, we read that mantra. If you go back to the previous page, see the mantra number 5. Where it is said that both Shreyaha and Priyaha, the preferable and the pleasurable, both of them present themselves before a human being. Meaning that in every situation, both these choices are there. Whether to choose something which is temporarily, immediately gratifying, but resulting into the long-term pain, or to choose something which appears to present a short-term pain, but brings about a long-term gain, these two choices are there in every situation. For example, in a situation there will be a choice whether to tell the truth or tell a lie. Both these choices may be there. Telling a lie may give me some immediate relief or an immediate gain, resulting into a long-term pain. Telling the truth may involve a short-term pain because it may involve letting go of something, sacrificing something, but brings about a long-term gain. So between truth and untruth, non-violence and violence, compassion, kindness and cruelty, we know that these are the choices available. Similarly, to settle for the pleasure coming from the objects outside, or to aim for the permanent happiness coming from the Self. So Shreya is the permanent or limitless happiness which is the nature of Self. Should I choose that as a goal of my life? Or Priyaha, that which is tempting or attracting to my sense organs and ever giving me an immediate gratification, should I choose that? You know, saying that, Dhiraha, a viveki or a discriminating person. Dhi means buddhi or the intellect. So one who uses his intellect correctly, who has viveka or who is able to discern between right and wrong, who is able to discern between what is desirable and undesirable. And therefore, even though the undesirable offers me a short-term gain and tempts me to choose it, a dhiraha, a discriminating person who has that fortitude, dhairyam, he refrains from falling prey to the immediate temptation. Meaning that soul with self-restraint and makes the right choice even though it may involve a certain difficulty, strain, immediate pain. That's called dhiraha, a wise discriminating person who chooses short-term pain and long-term gain rather than short-term gain and long-term pain. Now to expand that idea, come back to the mantra 9. So 9th, 10th and 11th, three mantras are there. When Upanishad gives an imagery of a chariot, each one of us is as though given a chariot, which was the vehicle available in the Vedic times. Today you might give the image of a motor car or something, but those days was chariot. As you know, chariot is a vehicle that is drawn by horse or horses. So let us read that imagery. Let us read the passage number 9.
Atmanam Prathinam Vidhi Shariram Atamevatu Buddhimtu Sarthim Vidhi Manaha Pragrahamevacha.
And continuing next one,
Indriyani
Hayan
Ahuhu Vishayan Teshu Gocharan Atmendriya Mano Yuktam Bhokta Ide Ahuhu Manishinah.
So it is said that we have a chariot. Imagine that Shariram Rathamevatu, this body is in place of a chariot. This body. Now chariot is drawn by the horses. So what is in place of horses in our personality? Indriyani Hayan Ahuhu. The sense organs of perception are in the place of horses. Eyes, ears, faculty of taste, touch, smell, these organs of perception are in the place of horses. How? So horse is that which pulls the chariot. Similarly, these sense organs of perception pull the body. The eyes see. some grapes in the shop, my mouth starts watering and I am drawn to the shop to buy those grapes. So body is drawn by the eyes. I am in my home and I hear some favorite film song being played on the radio. I'm drawn into that. So how the sense organs of perception draw us to those respective objects of pleasure. And the body is drawn to hearing something, seeing something, feeling something, touching something, tasting something. In that sense, the sense organs of perception are compared to horses, which as though pull this body. The horses always run on the paths. Vishayam steshu gocharan. Just as the horses run on the path, so also these horses of the nature of sense organs, they run on the path of sense objects. The eyes run on the path of the forms and colors, ears run on the path of the sounds and words, etc. Who is the charioteer of the horses? Charioteer is the one that is the most important in entity in this, because he directs the chariot. When we come to an intersection or come to a fork, for example, in our travel, we have to make a choice whether to make the right or left. Who makes the choice? The driver makes the choice. Just as in a car, the driver has to make a choice between which road to take when there comes the need for choosing between the two. Similarly also, in our personality, it is intellect that makes all the choice. The faculty of choice or free will is an intellect. The intellect has to make the choices. Therefore, the intellect is in the place of the driver or the charioteer. Buddhim the sarathim vidhi. We understand the buddhi or the intellect as sarathi, as the charioteer. As we know, the charioteer guides the horses with the help of rein. So here also, the intellect guides the sense organs, directs the sense organs through a faculty called mind. Thus we have these two faculties, intelligence, intellect, and the mind, sometimes called the head, and the heart. But interesting thing is, we are basically the mind-oriented people, meaning that all our transactions and interactions are carried out by the mind. The intellect is all the understanding, but the one that actually carries out the actions, the intellect makes choice all right. And does the mind to do something? Well, things are done by the mind. We live our life at the level of mind, at the level of this emotional faculty or the impulsive faculty. It's very important to know. The intellect may have all kinds of wisdom, but the one that lives a life, that interacts with the world, is the mind. Sometimes there may not be harmony between the mind, intellect and the mind, the head and the heart, the understanding and actual behavior. So we often find in our own self quite discrepancy between our understanding and our behavior, walking the talk. The talk is in the intellect. The walk is in the mind. So walk the talk. Meaning that I may have a value for honesty or truthfulness. I understand the value. When it comes to actually putting into practice, It is the emotional faculty that decides, that actually acts. And if my mind is pulled by the raga dvesha, the attachment and aversions, is influenced by that, then the mind may very well make a choice under the influence of the impulses, such as anger, greed, attachment, aversion. Meaning that the wisdom of the intellect does not necessarily come to play in our life if the mind and the intellect are not in alignment. Very often, the mind is controlled by impulses, which are raga and dvesha, attachment and aversions. So it is the mind that directs the sense organs. Ears, listen to that. Eyes, look at that. Legs, go to that place. Hands, pick up this thing. Hands, touch this. Who directs these organs of perception and action? The mind does. So intellect tells the mind to guide the sense organs, but mind may have its own mind sometimes. Therefore, the mind is called the reins. Meaning that the charioteer, the intellect, has his reins of mind in his hand, through which it wants to guide or control the horses or the sense organs of actions, of perception, action, etc., the personality. And who is riding the chariot? Who is the master of the chariot? You and I, the jiva-atma, the limited self, the individual self, is the chariot, master of the chariot. Understand that the master does not drive the chariot. When we are riding a cab, it is the cab driver that does the driving, the cab driver that makes all the choices, and we are at the mercy of the driver. If he makes the right choices, we may reach the destination. He makes wrong choices, we may get lost, and who knows, we may be robbed also. Similarly, you and I are the master of the chariot, all right, but then at the mercy of the intellect, which has to make the choices. Even after having made a choice, mercy of the mind, whether or not those choices are really implemented or not. Thus, our life is determined by this combination of intellect and the mind, buddhihi and manah. So, who are you? Who is I? Who is that one which we say the individual self, who is the master of the chariot, who rides the chariots, for whom the chariot is made? See, that second line of the 10th verse, Atmendriyamanoyuktam bhoktetyahurmanishinah. You must have heard the word jiva or jiva-atma. In the individual paramatma, the limitless self, that's our nature. But then, it looks like we are limited self, jiva-atma we are. Atma means limitless. Atma is that is all pervasive. But still, the limitless, all-pervasive self that I am, I nevertheless feel a sense of limitedness, sense of confinement, sense of separatedness, sense of isolation, and thereby feel the sorrow, pleasure and pain. Who is feeling all this? Atma is feeling. Meaning that the limitless takes himself to be limited being. How does this sense of limitation arise? On account of identifying with that which is limited. For example, in the morning class, we discussed that Atma is different from the body. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. Is body that is born, na jayate, Atma is not born. is body that grows, Atma doesn't grow. Body that decays, Atma does not decay. Body that dies, Atma does not die. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. All the afflictions take place at the level of body, and then also the Atma is never afflicted. That's our true nature. But unfortunately, we find ourselves constantly being afflicted. I'm getting old, Swamiji. There are wrinkles on my face, my hair is turning gray, I can't now quickly move about, I cannot get up after having. So, this is what we feel. How does that feeling arise? On account of the identification with the body. What is born is body. What do I say? I am born. What is growing old is the body. I say, I am growing old. What is going to die is the body. I say, I am going to die. Where is happiness? In the mind. What do I say? I am happy. Where is sadness? In the mind. What do I say? I am sad. Who is successful? Ego. What do I say? I am successful. I am a failure. I am happy. I am unhappy. I am fat. I am lean. I am tall. I am short. I am an experiencer, I am the doer, I am the speaker, I am the hearer, I am the thinker. These are the kind of notions that I entertain about myself. How do these notions arise? The second line says, Atmendriya Manoyuktam, one who is identified with the body, sense organs, mind. This is the personality. In fact, this is a vehicle which is given to us for expressing ourselves. But then the self, body is the dwelling place. The sense organs are the various instruments with which we perform various activities. The sense organs of perception are those with which we perceive the sense objects, like we know things through our telephone, etc., or all those instruments. Telephone is a means of communication, internet is a means of communication. I am not telephone, I am not internet. The carpenter may have various tools with which it performs different functions. It is not that, he is not a chisel, he is not his tools. Similarly, organs of action are like the tools with which I perform a variety of actions. The organs of perception are other means by which I know various things. They are all given to me in order for me to perform my day-to-day activities, to understand that I am not organs of perception. I am not the organs, I am not the telephone, I am not the internet. I am not my chisel and hammer. And still, Atmendriya Manoyuktam, we are all born with ignorance. Ignorance of the self on account of which we take what is not self to be the self. The Upanishad explains that we are a union of Atma and Anatma, the self and non-self. All these different aspects of the chariot, namely the chariot that is the body. The horse is sense organs. The reins the mind. The chariot, intellect, all of these are anatma, non-self. And all of that is given to us to live our life. I am the owner of that, I am the one who rides that chariot. I am not the chariot. However, I take myself to the chariot. I take myself to horses. I take myself to body, sense organs, mind, intellect. This is called identification. And therefore, the limitations of all these become as though my limitations. And therefore, I feel a sense of limitation. limitedness. I think that I'm a speaker, I'm a hearer, I'm a walker, I'm a talker. The speaking takes place or is done by the organ of speech. Hearing is carried on by the organ of hearing. Seeing is carried on by the organ of sight. And I superimpose them upon myself and brand myself as a speaker, hearer, thinker, walker, talker, happy, unhappy, successful, failure, born, growing old, dying. All these various notions I entertain and suffer from them. Unfortunately, each of these notions is accompanied with a sense of smallness, limitedness, helplessness. And this is the cause of all our suffering in life. All these notions or complexes arising from the identification of the body, sense organs, mind, intellect. Because, understand this, if I was really a limited being as I think I am, if the limitedness was real, I can never become limitless. If being dependent, helplessness or bondage was reality, I can never become free. Because we can never change the nature of something. Fire will always be hot, can never become cold. Ice is always cold, cannot become hot. Meaning that the nature of something cannot be changed. If the nature of the self was limitedness, we can never change it, we can never become limitless. But we can, because limitlessness is our nature, limitedness is not our nature. The sense of limitedness arises from taking non-self to myself. Endeavor. How should we live our life? Fake it till you make it. What should you fake? I'm limitless. I'm free. I'm happiness. But I don't feel Swamiji. I don't feel happiness. I don't feel free. I feel limited. Don't worry. Fake it. What do you fake it? Limitless I am. Happy I am. Free I am. Even though you don't feel it, imagine, pretend that that's what you are. And then act. Like someone may put on the costume of a king. I am king, you know. He's not, but in this case, I'm a king, fortunately. What happens is sometimes that actor who is a millionaire puts on the costume of a beggar and thinks that I'm a beggar. Say, hey, fake it, you are a millionaire. So live the life in that manner. That becomes yoga. Living the life, giving reality to my sense of limitedness is bhoga or shpreya. On the other hand, even though I feel limited, I act as though I am limitless, meaning that the attitudes that I entertain, the values are as though I am limitless. And that's how I live, that's the life of yoga. Then I will make choices. My sense of limitedness will prompt me to make a choice that gives me immediate gratification. I say, no. I don't need the gratification. Happiness I am, and therefore I will not go for external gratification. Then what will you do? I'll make a choice which is conducive to discovering the happiness that I am. You follow? And therefore, that always, because of taking myself to be a limited being, all these, the mind always comes up with wrong choices, giving reality to my sense of limitation, because that's built into the mind. But with the intellect, now that I've understood that no, limitedness is not my nature, limitlessness is my nature. Therefore, intellect, I bring in the understanding of intellect at every point, and not allow to make the mind the habitual choices and make deliberate choices. The deliberate choices based on my true nature of being limitless. Habitually, I take myself to be a limited being and make choices, and that is how the limitedness is perpetuated. Unless this is turned around. So when a person lives life like that, so then we go to the passage 11.
Vijnana sarthi. Yasto marah-pragrahavan narah saha advanah param apnodi tad vishnoh paramam padam.
Look at the translation. The person who has a discriminative intellect. What is meant by discriminative intellect? A person who makes choices based on the reality of life. What is the reality of life? That limitlessness or happiness is my nature, whether I feel it or not. And that happiness is nowhere else. Even though the world seems to create the appearance of happiness, there is no happiness there. That's the reality. So mind, because of its ignorance, falls prey to all these appearances, but intellect has an assertion now that no, I'm going to make the choice based on the reality of life. Vijnana sarthi. Sarthi means the charioteer, means the intellect. Intellect as a vijnana has the right kind of knowledge, right kind of discrimination, where choices are made based on the reality of what I am, that the happiness I am, even though happiness appears out there, it's a false appearance and not a reality. And even though my mind tells me that unhappiness is of nature, I don't accept it, happiness is my nature. This is where pretension comes. Pretension comes when you don't experience it. If you experience limitlessness, there is nothing to pretend. That's what you want. Until then you pretend. As we said, because if I give reality to my sense of limitedness and make choices that only perpetuate that limitedness, if I do not give reality to that, and give reality to my limitlessness, then a day will come when that will become reality for me also. So what we want is, what is reality should become reality for me. That's called knowledge. So before knowledge, there is an attitude. What is the attitude? I am limitless. Means what? That will prompt me to be honest person, truthful. So all this kindness, compassion, truthfulness, non-violence, all these values are based on my limitlessness, my happiness. Only that person can be ideally a non-violent person, truthful person. So I pretend and I follow those values, whether my mind cooperates or not. The right values, right attitudes, that's called life of yoga, karma yoga. That slowly reduces the pressure coming from the wrong understanding, and that's how the ragadveshas become weaker and weaker, and I become progressively free from these impulses. That is called the antahakana shuddhi, purification of mind. I progressively gain a mastery over myself, over my faculties. The mind becomes cooperative to me. Mind becomes pleased with my friend. Sense organs become my friend. So mind gains tranquility. Sense organs are under control. Shamaha, damaha, uparamaha. Then the knowledge is not far away. When this first step of antahakana shuddhi or purification of mind is gained, And Saravana Goswami would say that just becomes, you know, cakewalk. So Dvaraparamapnoti, so one who has thus the intellect has the right choices, right discrimination, and mind therefore now has been aligned with the intellect, meaning the whole personality has become what? Integrated personality. Alignment between the intellect, the thought, mind, the behavior, sense organs, all my activities. Then I am to get in Swami's words, together as a person. Meaning that not mind goes this way, intellect goes away, sense organs go somewhere, and I'm split and constant in conflict. All of them come together and becomes an integrated personality. Sudvanas, second line says, Sahadvanas paramapnoti. He reaches the destination of the journey. What's the destination? Tad Vishnoho paramam padam. It is the padam. The goal, the destination is Vishnu. Now, Vishnu is the name of a devata also, but derivatively, Vishnu means all pervasive. Vaiveshti is the Vishnu. One who pervades everything, one who is self of all, who is limitless, so I discover the limitlessness as my nature. So, what is the goal of this journey? Discovering my true nature. When can I discover my true nature? When I live a life which is compatible to my true nature. I put that in the behavior and slowly it becomes a reality for me. But if limitlessness is your nature, then Swamiji, how come you don't know that? Next verse tells us that. Esha sarveshu, bhuteshu, gudhautma, gudha, atma, na prakashate. I know, see, when I am reciting, I am separating those sandhis. The problem with Sanskrit is that the words conjoin. The vowels join with each other and the consonants, and there is joint conjoining called sandhi. So what we see in the text is, after the letters have been conjoined, and so see, so the first line, gudhotma, looks like one word, but there are two words, gudha, atma, that a goes away, the visarga becomes O, A goes away, gudhotma. In fact, it is gudha atma. Not a regular sandhi, but sort of. Alright. So, when I recite, if you pay attention, then you will know that I am already separating those words and then reciting. Let's go to the next line. Drishyate tu agraya buddhya sukshmaya sukshmadarshinah. You are saying that the self is limitless, happiness, peace, tranquility, then how come I do not experience that? The sugar is sweet by nature. Does sugar need to do something to become sweet? Does the fire need to do something to become hot? Does the sun need to do something to become bright, shining? No, that's the nature. Similarly, it makes, I would expect that. Since limitlessness is by nature, that I should feel limitless. And instead, I feel I am a limited being. Meaning that my feeling or my perception of myself is quite contrary to what my true nature is. The true nature is limitlessness And what is my perception? I perceive myself as a limited being. Happiness is my nature. Unfortunately, I perceive myself as an unhappy being. Freedom is my nature. Unfortunately, I perceive myself to be helpless and dependent. Meaning that we are born with this false perception about ourselves. Why? You don't know? It's called ignorance. See, what is ignorance is compared to darkness? What is darkness? Darkness is that which deprives us of seeing what is. If there's pitch darkness in this room, then I could not see you even though you are there, or you could not see me even if I am here. What does darkness do? Darkness deprives us of seeing what is. You understand? Similarly, ignorance deprives us of seeing what is. What is limitlessness about myself. And ignorance of self deprives me of seeing myself as limitless. Even though happiness is my nature, ignorance deprives me of the experience of happiness. And this ignorance is worse than darkness. Darkness simply deprives me of seeing what is. This ignorance goes a step further. Not only deprives me of seeing what is, it makes me see it in a contrary way. In the rope snake example, what is in front of me is a rope. Ignorance does not only deprive me from seeing that as a rope, it makes me see it as a snake. You know rope snake example?
Yeah.
That's very important. Vedantins love that example, rope snake. You know rope snake? What is a rope? Unfortunately, appears to me as a snake. So for me, snake is reality. Even though that object is a rope, I treat it as a snake and that it causes fear in me. Had I known that object as a rope, there would be no fear at all. Is it not so? Similarly, had I known myself as I am, there would be no sorrow in my life. I would be happy because I am limitless, free. But then the self is shown by my mind or ignorance makes it see as limited. So what is limitless is made to appear as limited. What is happiness is made to appear as unhappy. What is free is made to appear as bound. And therefore, even though the limitless self, everyone is limitless, there is only one self. Unfortunately, the self does not shine in its true nature. It is something that does not allow, in fact, distorts the perception of nature. Self that is limitless shines as a limited entity. Self that is happiness shines as though it is unhappy. So then how do I see the self? So second line says, Drushyate tu agryabhadhyā sukshmayā sukshmadarshimihi. Ignorance does its job. And therefore I am born with all these false notions about myself. But it is possible to see myself as I am. What's the instrument? The instrument is my mind. The mind intellect equipment is that with which I see myself. Even right now also, I know myself. Is it not so? Do you know yourself? That you are. You are limited. We know ourselves. Maybe wrongly, but we know ourselves. Is it not so? So same faculty with which you know ourselves wrongly, with that same faculty we can know ourselves rightly. Simple as that. How can you know ourselves wrongly? Because my mind is running away. That will come in next verse.
That mind which is extrovert should be made inward looking. The mind that is scattered should be made single pointed. Trushyatu agreya buddhya sukshmaya.
So buddhi or the mind should become sukshma, should become subtle, inward looking.
Agreya should not be scattered or distracted, should become focused or single pointed.
So these two qualifications are say, sukshmata in Vedanta called chitta shuddhi, purity of the mind, ekagrata, the concentration of mind.
Chitta ekagriyam, chitta shuddhi, the purification of mind and the ability to concentrate or focus the mind. When we have a mind like that, then the self can be seen.
So that's the mind that we have to cultivate.
Meaning that it is possible to know the self provided we make an effort of making right choices. The right mind is right now running outward, how to transform it to make it coming inward. The mind which is distracted and scattered, how to make it single-pointed? That's why he said, just now we said, by what? Life of yoga, with right values, right attitudes, with prayer, with worship of the Lord, etc. Bhakti, I can do that. And then we should do it. So let us go to the next mantra from where? So in the last session, we completed the 12th message, just we just read. Now we have to commence from this 13th passage, 13th mantra. So let us read that.
Uttishthara
Jagrata
Prapyavaran
Nibodhata
Shvasyadhara
Nishita
Durapyaya
Durgam
Pathaha
Tatkavayaha
Vadanti.
What is written is a kavayo. What it is kavaya. Because a visara becomes O. You can refer to our Kumudji, you know, she tells you all the rules, how these things happen, you know. She has made a nice little manual, by the way. She is a Sanskrit teacher, Kumud. And she has worked very hard to prepare a manual or a book, if you want to call it. But these things are all made easy. This first thing you have to learn is sandhi, this conjoining of the letters. She has a nice little tabulation. You can, one side you can see. When I join, what happens? And I join, what happens? And E. So, wins combination, what happens? Right away you can see. Declension of the words, you know, formation of the verb, etc. All of this, anyway. But the thing is that at least this to read this, if nothing else, we should be able to separate this. Words that are joined, we should be able to separate them. That much we should be able to do. Doesn't matter. But when you see me chanting differently, you know that I am chanting the way the word is. And not the way we find it here. Now, look at the translation. Now, this Upanishad or Shruti, we call it Shruti. The Vedas, Upanishads are part of Veda. And Veda is called Shruti. Because traditionally, these Vedic texts were listened to from the teacher. This knowledge was passed on from the teacher to the disciple by reciting. The teacher recites
The student hears and recites back. Teacher recites, the student hears, recites back. In that process, the student remembers and learns to recite, both of them. So that is how whole Vedas were learned, by listening to the teacher. Since this knowledge came from listening, is also called Shravanam Shruti. Or because the sages who gained knowledge also as though listened to Ishvara, therefore also is called Shruti. So, another name of Veda is Shruti. It's a feminine name, Shruti. Veda is a masculine name. But better than that is what? Shruti. Because feminine means mother. So, Veda or Shruti is like our mother. More than father, of course. But mother in particular. I can't say father doesn't have a concern for children. But mother has a particular concern. Father will try once or twice and give up, but mother will not give up. She'll tell again and again. So here, this mother Shruti is telling us, the children, Uttishtada, arise. Stand up, you know. So Uttstha, arise. Stha means to stand, Uttstha means arise. Hey children, arise. Jagrata, awake, arise, awake. Then we will go further. Oh, here Upanishad says, arise and awake. So a sleeping person or sleeping people are addressed here by the mother to wake them up. We are, as when I said that, we are born with ignorance. And that ignorance does not have a beginning, it is a beginningless ignorance, meaning that we are sleeping in the sleep of ignorance. So sleeping person has to be woken up, isn't it? So address, hey, Devadatta, come on, get up. Here is the stand up, rise, and then wake up. Normally you wake up and then arise, isn't it? Usually process should be wake up and arise. But here is arise and then wake up. That's interesting. So arise. Jagrata, Puttishthata, He Jantavah, Atmajnana, Abhimukha, Bhavata. You arise from your slumber, from your laziness, from your indiscrimination. Oh children, you are living the life of aviveka, you are living the life of indiscrimination. Hey, you are making wrong choices in your life. You have taken for granted, or you believe that limitedness is your nature, therefore you are trying to become limitless. That unhappiness or sorrow is of nature, this is what you believe, and you are trying to become happy. And what you are trying to do is futile, because like the tenth man, you know, everybody knows the tenth man story. The tenth man is searching for the tenth man. There also you can see a written story in Sanskrit. But anyway, short story, tenth man. So this fellow counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the count is 9. And one by one, each one comes along and counts that this is 9. So they conclude that the 10th man is lost. Maybe he is drowned in the river. And they search for the 10th man. For the whole day, searching after the whole day, they cannot find him. Fortunately for them, another traveler comes along and sees these people, very agitated and unhappy. What's the matter with you? Then the leader tells in the story that one of us is lost. How did you determine that one of you is lost? By counting. How did you count? You can demonstrate. See? Come on, all of you line up in front of me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. See, we are 9. The 10th man is lost. you are the tenth man, because he does not count himself. And whole day they are searching for the tenth man. When they are searching for tenth man, who are they searching for? Their own self, not knowing. Hey, you are searching for happiness, which is yourself. You cannot find yourself because you are already that. Ever arise. Arise from this wrong process of life that you adopted and from the right process of life. You don't have to become happy. You have to discover that happiness is your nature. You don't have to become free. You have to discover, own up the freedom that you are. Meaning, make the right choices. From being a consumer, transform yourself to be a contributor. From a beggar, become a giver. Meaning that, perform all your actions not with the intention of self-gratification. Perform your actions with the desire or with the attitude of offering something, offering yourself. Because you already are limitless, you can afford to give. Give what? Give your kindness. I don't have any money, don't worry. You get one of the three T's you should have. What is it? The time, talent, and treasure. Whatever you have. Talent, treasure I don't have. Don't worry. Talent I don't have. No problem. Time you have. Give what you have. And so become a giver. You have plenty. You think that you don't have anything. In fact, you have plenty. You have plenty of kindness and goodness within you. Give that. How can I give? By appropriate effort. So, change the attitude behind your action. Don't make an action as an act of grabbing. Make the same action as a process of giving. So thus, transform your life from bhoga to yoga. From a consumer to a contributor. That's how the mind becomes inward. Again, we'll discuss that. But the earlier mantra said that dushyatidu, atma can be known by the mind that enjoys subtlety, inwardness, as well as concentration. How to make mind inward? How to bring concentration? There are processes like pranayama and which are wonderful. But simple process is change of attitude. This change of attitude can accomplish the same thing. Just have the attitude of becoming a contributor, of a giver. Every moment, if nothing else, give your goodness, give your kindness, give your respect. That you can give. Doesn't cost you anything. If you're concerned about what will happen if my money goes away, don't give, don't worry. I don't have time, don't worry. Your kindness, at least give that. Doesn't cost you any money. And more you give, more you discover it from yourself. That's called happiness. So give happiness in order to be happy. Give love in order to gain love. This whole thing is, we are all the time trying to grab these things. Grab, and we are begging for love, begging for happiness. This is a wrong process arising from ignorance. So Upanishad says, Veda says, turn around. You don't need to acquire love. You are love. You'll discover that you are happiness by giving happiness. You'll discover that you are love by giving love. Uttishthara. Become a yogi rather than a bhogi. Become a contributor rather than a consumer. And then now slowly you become free from this ragandvesha. A consumer means I want something. That one always brings about more wants and more ragadveshas, attachment, aversions. I give something, the ragadveshas also go away. The stream of life, which is a process of giving up these impulses. Give that. That's what binds you. That's what makes you unhappy. Otherwise your ragadveshas, attachment, aversions, the kamakrodha, give them up. How do you give up? By being a giver. Uttishthada says, arise, meaning that may you live a life which is conducive to becoming inward looking. Atma abhimukha bhavata. Right now, you're always drawn towards anatma, towards non-self, towards the world and its achievements. On the other hand, turn around and become directed towards yourself. The process of discovering what you are, that happens when you have the right attitudes and values. Uttishtava. Then jagrata. Then you awake from the sleep of ignorance. But that can happen provided you have first become an integrated person, alignment between the thought and the word and the deed. Then you awake. Then you wake up from the sleep of ignorance. How? By knowledge. How do you gain knowledge? That continues. We'll continue that discussion in next class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Bhadarayanam Sutra Bhashyakrutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Gururatmeti Murti Veda Vibhagine Vyomavadvyapta Dehaya Dakshinamurtaye Namaha Om Shanti Shanti.